This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
AIDS Vancouver Island, 25 years and counting. Vancouver Island's regional AIDS organization continues its work amid change and challenge.
On September 17, 1985, five men sat around a kitchen table and decided it was time to meet the challenge posed by the AIDS epidemic on Vancouver Island. That evening saw the birth of AIDS Vancouver Island, with the founders forming the first board of directors. Now, 25 years later, AVI serves the communities of Greater Victoria, Nanaimo, the Comox Valley, and Campbell River, and also offers services in the Port Hardy area.
Progress against HIV infection continues to be made. For example, between 1996 and 2009, new HIV diagnoses among BC's injection drug users decreased by almost 50%. But stigma and discrimination continue. In some small towns, people living with HIV and AIDS avoid using local medical clinics or pharmacies for fear of being ostracized.
We're joined on the phone by Andrea Langlois of AIDS Vancouver Island and Glenn McGuire, who lives with HIV. Welcome to People First Radio.
Thanks so much for having me.
Andrea, as AIDS Vancouver Island marks 25 years, what are you hearing from people who have been involved with the organization for many of those 25 years?
You know, things, the organization itself has changed so much, and then the virus and the way it impacts our communities has changed so much. But the organization itself, you know, as you mentioned, we now have offices across Vancouver Island. We started as a very small organization with a $500 donation, and the men that you talked about, they sat around and basically ended up using the first funds to set up a helpline. You know, they had a few pamphlets that some of them had gotten in San Francisco that had very basic information on HIV. Test for HIV was not yet available at that time. So they were really working with, you know, very little knowledge even about the virus, but just knowing that the community needed support. So move from five men and a phone line that they transferred from home to home to 25 years later. We have a $2 million budget. We have offices across the island. We serve, you know, probably work directly with over 500 people with HIV per year, plus all of the many people that are affected by the disease or at risk. So we've just gone from being, you know, very grassroots to, you know, an organization with a really large capacity, and we're still doing a huge amount of work.
Andrea, has there been anything that has not changed over the 25 years?
Well, stigma, you know, the stigma has changed, but it also, you know, it has stayed the same in some ways. For example, you know, people living with HIV, especially in small communities, might not disclose their HIV status for several years just because of fear of stigma. But, you know, the stigma has shifted. You know, there was a time where people were afraid of coming out with their HIV status because they might lose their jobs or get kicked out of their housing. So that has changed. The virus itself, you know, it's become more of a chronic manageable disease for people who can have access to treatment and the right kind of health supports, which Glenn has joined me, and he'll tell you about that, or he can answer that question around treatment, et cetera. But so that has changed a lot. So we're seeing, actually, you know, we had an event last night, and there was a gentleman who spoke about being HIV positive for 30 years. You know, when he was diagnosed, he probably wouldn't have expected to live very long at all, and now here he is 30 years later because of the medications.
Glenn, welcome to People First Radio.
Thank you.
15 years ago, you found out that you had HIV, and you were given 2 years to live.
Correct, yes.
You're 60 years old now, and you say you've never felt better. Tell us about your journey.
You know, my C4 count has never fallen below 500, which in Ontario is considered normal, anything between 500 and 1,200. I had Bell's palsy, which is, it paralyzes one half of your face. I had it bilaterally, and 6 months later it paralyzed the other side of my face. Besides that, I haven't had any physical ailments because of HIV, but I've had a variety of mental problems. And 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with as being bipolar. And after 5 different types of antidepressants and antipsychotics, they finally got the recipe correct, and that's why I feel never better, because mentally and emotionally and spiritually, I feel the best I can ever remember.
You recently told Monday magazine that you don't enjoy the look of pity you see on many faces when people hear that you're HIV positive. Tell us more about that.
Well, that's very difficult to deal with because you have to own their feelings about mortality, and you can see it in their faces. So I prefer that people discuss my HIV status amongst themselves rather than talking to me about it. I don't mind talking to other people that are HIV positive or other people that are in the industry, so to speak. But for people who are neophytes, it's like you said, cancer or suicide. Like they get a look on their face that is very difficult to deal with because they're pitying you and they're worried about their own mortality, I would think.
AVI's executive director, Katrina Jensen, told Monday magazine, "You have to wonder what the organization's founders had hoped the world would look like by now. So far, we haven't been able to get rid of the stigma, but that doesn't mean we'll stop." Now, we heard Andrea touch on stigma a little bit. Glenn, what are your thoughts about stigma?
Well, the stigma has lessened. At one time, because in the eye of the public, HIV/AIDS was something you gave yourself as opposed to cancer or other diseases that seem more random. But because of the means of transmission, in the eyes of the public, it was a choice rather than random. Society did judge you if you were HIV positive, and quite harshly, I might add, because the services available to people with HIV in the medical community are much better now, but when the epidemic first began, it was like going to a dirty back room to get treatment. It was humiliating.
This is CHLY.ca, CHLY 101.7 FM. You're listening to People First Radio.
AIDS Vancouver Island is marking 25 years of service in the prevention of HIV and the care and support of people living with HIV and AIDS. The organization has seen significant change over the years and progress has been made, but stigma and discrimination continue.
Dr. Peter Jepson-Young knew firsthand that people living with HIV/AIDS have many needs far greater than just survival. Before his death in 1992, he established the Dr. Peter AIDS Foundation. Peter was a young Vancouver physician diagnosed with HIV/AIDS in 1985. When his condition became too debilitating to continue practicing medicine, he sought to inform and educate the public and others living with HIV/AIDS in the Dr. Peter Diaries.
In 111 television episodes broadcast on CBC TV over 2 years, Dr. Peter used honesty, pathos, and humor to share his experience, bringing a human face and a human touch to the AIDS epidemic at a time when too few knew the difference between myth and medical reality. Here's audio from the first broadcast of the Dr. Peter Diaries on September the 10th, 1990.
AIDS. It's fatal, there's no cure yet, and attempts to understand its impact are often clouded by emotional debates. Though it can infect heterosexuals, most who have it are homosexual. AIDS is an extraordinary disease, and that's why this week on the Evening News, we're venturing into something extraordinary. An AIDS diary, an intimately close portrait of life with AIDS.
Hi, my name's Peter. I'm a physician here in Vancouver, and I'm going to be talking to you about a disease which is affecting more and more Canadians on a daily basis. The disease is AIDS. Now, perhaps you feel there's enough information about AIDS in the popular press, but we're going to be approaching this from a different point of view, a more human point of view. I'm going to be introducing you to someone with AIDS to help provide a name, a face, an identity to this disease. The person I'm going to introduce you to is myself. I am a doctor, but I'm also a patient with AIDS. My personal experience with AIDS began in September of 1986. As a gay male, I knew I was a member of a high-risk group, but there was no indication that anything was wrong. Before the end of that month, over about a 10-day period, I went from being able to climb the lions to not being able to climb a flight of stairs without stopping for breath. On September the 28th, I was admitted to St. Paul's Emergency with a very high fever and very short of breath. I spent the worst night of my life hoping against hope that the pneumonia was a common virus, but unfortunately the next morning, the diagnosis was made. It was AIDS. I spent the following 3 weeks in hospital. In spite of being on 100% oxygen, even lying flat in bed, I wasn't able to breathe enough to provide my body with what it needed. So it was necessary for me to be on a mechanical ventilator for 4 days. Following this, I developed a toxicity from the medication, which caused my heart to beat in a very irregular fashion and eventually led to several cardiac arrests. During those 3 weeks, I had a lot of time to think and a lot of things to think about. At one point, out of a morbid sense of curiosity, I spoke to my GP about what my life expectancy might be. I seem to recall the numbers 9 to 14 months. All I could think about was that wasn't going to be me. From the first day I was in hospital, I was determined to beat this thing. It's now 4 years later. I've had the four best years of my life, and I want a lot more.
AIDS Vancouver Island, 25 years and counting. Vancouver Island's regional AIDS organization continues its work amid change and challenge.
We're joined on the phone by Andrea Langlois of AIDS Vancouver Island and Glenn McGuire, who lives with HIV. I would love to ask you, Andrea, a little bit about Artists for AIDS.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, we just launched it last night, and it was a fabulous event with about 150 people at the Art Gallery of Greater Victoria. We have 12 pieces of amazing art created by a local art connoisseur and consultant friend, Willis, who had a gallery here in Victoria for about 25 years. So, you know, it just was a fabulous event. Basically, it's a lottery where we have 12 pieces by 12 different artists, and people can choose which piece of art they buy a ticket for, and there's only 333 tickets per piece. They're available for order online at artistsforaids.ca. So this is an event, actually, that we hosted Artists for AIDS three times in the 90s and then once again in 2003, and just looking at the, you know, the huge presence of art in the AIDS movement. You know, there was a lot of artists, and the whole entire artist community was really affected in the 90s, which led to this event happening then. So we decided to revive it for our 25th year.
That is fantastic. Now, the couple of ladies who we were to be talking with, they have just, actually that was Charlene Bouchier and Maria Sirhiko.
Yeah.
They have just completed the Canada World Youth Placements at AVI's Victoria location. Would you be able to summarize what that is for us, Andrea?
Well, every year we have two Canada World Youth students come, one who's originally from Canada and one who's from the Ukraine. So it's the third year that we've done it. Our amazing manager of health promotion, Heidi Exner, basically mentors students for a few months. They spend 3 months in Canada and then 3 months in the Ukraine. So they actually just finished their placement with us yesterday, and now they're off to the Ukraine. The students working with us basically learned, you know, they participated in various volunteer activities with our organization and then learned a huge amount about HIV and AIDS that they can then go and use in their community. I believe that their project that they finalized with was with some really amazing presentation boards and some presentations with their fellow students.
Hi, Glenn. We have just a moment left.
Yes.
Is there anything else you'd like to add to our conversation today?
I would just like to say that as a person living with HIV, for any of your listeners out there, just treat anyone who you know who has HIV as if you've just heard that they have diabetes and, you know, a chronic manageable disease. And it'll make everyone a lot happier in life.
Thank you very much. I'd like to really thank you for joining us.
Not at all. Thank you.
Andrea, is there anything else you'd like to add to our conversation today?
Yeah, thanks to everybody for supporting our organization over the years. We have a wonderful office in Nanaimo on Victoria Street, and up and down the island. So please feel free to visit our website at avi.org if you need any support or if you have any questions about HIV. And if you'd like to support us in Artist Raise Lottery, we have until February 14th to purchase tickets at $25 a piece. So visit artistforaids.ca.
Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. Very much appreciated.
Thank you both.
Andrea Langlois is Communications Manager at AIDS Vancouver Island. Glenn McGuire has lived with HIV for 15 years and says he's the poorest financially, yet the richest emotionally he has ever been. You can find AIDS Vancouver Island online at avi.org, and you can find Artists for AIDS at artistsforaids.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.